Chapter 4 Drake and Grek left the vanguard and hurried out beneath the junk-strewn gantries of precipice, immediately enveloped by a tide of fumes, heat and noise. They had barely taken a few steps when something detonated over their heads. Drake ducked instinctively, pointing his splinter pistol at the stars. Then he relaxed and holstered the gun. It was just another ship exploding across the void screen, another desperate captain failing to breach the debris cloud. It was happening almost daily now, far more often than when Drake first arrived. The proctors had done all they could to stop word spreading, but who could keep such a prize secret? For every 10 ships that failed to make it through the debris cloud, one succeeded, demanding a place at an ever more crowded feast. The walkways surrounding the vanguard were thronged with new arrivals, and they had to weave amongst swaggering giants and bustling knee-high crowds. Not for the first time, Drake found himself marvelling at the unifying power of greed. Races and creeds walked past him with a singular purpose, forgetting centuries of enmity as they spilled from their ships and rushed towards the droneplats. There was a bewildering variety of species, the usual colourful mix of hominids, humans and abhumans, born beneath a host of different suns, alongside loping avian monsters like Grek, and glistening serpentine creatures that slid across the ruined metal, singing in a low, mournful drone that made Drake's skull ache. Slender figures, swathed in cloaks, rushed through the shifting dark, moving with liquid, inhuman grace. Eldari. Even half-hidden, they made his skin crawl. Sylphic, ethereal and cruel, in ways Drake could barely fathom. As Drake veered away from the Eldari, he collided with a huge slab of armour plating and almost dropped his pistol. At first he thought he'd stumbled into a piece of salvage, an abandoned bulkhead perhaps, or a cooling tower. But then the enormous shape turned and looked down at him. It was a metal automaton, an ancient Adeptus Mechanicus war machine, with an assault cannon in place of one arm and a power claw in place of the other. He shook his head, surprised yet again by the strange inhabitants of Precipice. The automaton was 8 or 9 feet tall, and it did not follow the design of any Mechanicus machinery he had ever encountered before. The thing had to be a mindless drone, but as it stared down at him through a narrow horizontal lens in its helmet, it almost seemed annoyed with him. He laughed at the absurdity of the idea and rushed on. They continued fighting their way through the crush until the south gate of the droneplats reared up before them. A soaring arch of fuselage, skirted by a tidal crush of arguing traders and exhausted crewmen. There were several trading auditoria scattered around Precipice, but the droneplats was by far the largest. It was built on several levels, and so large that it housed dozens of anchorage points, enabling smaller craft to dock directly to its upper reaches and unload cargo straight into the marketplace. It was dome-shaped, built in crude imitation of imperial architecture, and it was the crimson heart of the whole station, burning red with the glow of 3 enormous combustion chambers housed beneath its floor. From Drake's perspective, as he approached from the south gate, the droneplats looked like a red flame, reflected in the vast, ineffable pupil of the Blackstone Fortress. As they forced their way in, the noise and heat soared, enveloping them in a sweaty riot of sound and colour. As always, Drake had to pause to take in the insanity of the place before he could press on. The crews that survived a mission to the Blackstone returned with an exotic mixture of cargoes, and most of it ended up in the droneplats. The wonderful and the sublime quickly devolved into the measurable and saleable, commodities to be pawed at and haggled over before being scattered across Precipice. It was a frenzied scene, but Drake had recently begun to wonder if all this industry and furious bartering actually achieved anything. The sellers clutched their proctor tokens, and the buyers stashed their purchases, but none of them ever left. They were all trapped in the merciless pull of the Blackstone, hoarding their finds until they made that final fatal trip to the fortress and lost everything they had won. Precipice was half mania and half torpor. For every new captain that docked, another failed to return, cluttering the mooring spars with silent, rusting sepulchres. Once he had acclimatized to the tumult, Drake led Grek into the crowd. They were swallowed up in a cacophony of screeches and howls. The stalls were heaped with xenotech and holy relics, but also crates of animals, bizarre, unclassifiable beasts. One of the mysteries of the Blackstone was how such creatures found a way to survive in its cold, lightless chasms. But survive they did, and many of them could be sold for huge sums to collectors. Drake saw a box of singing amphibian creatures, like the one he'd seen in Bolosus's hold. Towering over them, its head bowed, was an enormous canine. It was 30 or 40 feet tall and utterly black, merging with the shadows, only its burning red eyes revealing the shape of its vulpine snout. The upper levels of the Droneplatz had been built from huge sections of rocket boosters and fuel tanks salvaged from the debris cloud. Even these distant balconies were crowded with stalls and traders, swelling precariously across the narrow walkways that stretched from liftport to liftport. Traders swarmed around Drake, drawn by his elegant attire, spotting a man of wealth. "We're not here to buy," he cried, waving them away and pressing on through the centre of the atrium. "Let me through!"
"Drukhari,"
hissed someone, prodding at Drake's splinter pistol and offering an insulting price for the weapon. Drake looked down to see a pair of grinning, familiar faces, ratlings, only 3 or 4 feet tall, but with gaunt, scarred faces and the battered war gear of Astra Militarum Auxilla veterans. Drake had dealt with them before and found them to be even less trustworthy than most of Precipice's inhabitants.
"Hands off, Ross,"
barked Drake, gripping the gun and scowling at the one who had touched his pistol. They backed away, sniggering, but before Drake could take any more steps, a mass of emaciated wretches crowded around him, barring his progress and proffering their pitiful wares. Grek gripped his rifle in both hands, but Drake shook his head.
"Do not start another fight."
He fished a token from inside his jacket. Then, when he was sure all the abhumans were watching, he flipped it through the air, sending it spinning back towards the south gate. There was a stampede. Dozens of them bolted after the coin, leaving Drake's way clear. He strode on, picking up as much speed as he could, so that when the crowds pressed back on him, he was able to shoulder them aside and keep moving towards the north gate. He did not pause to look at any of the trading posts, knowing how distracting they could be, and in just a few minutes he had nearly reached the exit. Like its southern counterpart, the north gate was a graceful arch of engine casing and, half hidden as it was by the fumes, it looked worthy of a place in the most beautiful Terran palace.
"Drake!"
yelled someone from the other side of the auditorium. He stopped and looked back. Drake cursed as he saw the lumpen, porridge-like features of Grusel Bolosus. The bounty hunter was on the far side of the hall, separated from Drake by the crowds, but using his massive bulk to barge through the crush.
"I don't have time for this,"
snapped Drake, looking back at the north gate. They were minutes away from leaving the Droneplatz, but not if he had to stop and fight an enraged bounty hunter. Heat washed over the side of his face, accompanied by the brittle clap of a firing mechanism. He whirled around in time to see Bolosus topple back into the crowd, clutching his arms, spouting a crimson geyser as he fell from sight. Grek's rifle was pressed to his shoulder, still smoking.
"Grek!"
snapped Drake as the din in the hall slipped up a tone. Precipice was always on the cusp of anarchy. Only the proctor's threats of summary execution maintained a fragile peace. The sound of gunfire in the Droneplatz was enough to trigger a storm of curses and accusations. Drake watched helplessly as the scene descended into chaos. Insults were answered with punches, and punches escalated into flashing knives. It took less than a minute for the first shots to ring out, followed by the crash of overturned stalls. The colossal canine reared on its haunches and dislodged some of the suspended walkways, sending bodies and gantries hurtling through the air to smash on the flailing crowds below. One of the fallen gantries crashed onto a pile of crates and unleashed a flock of winged eels. The eels exploded into flight, filling the air with noise and movement as they thrashed against the side of the dome, confused by the crystalline walls and screaming as they struggled to escape the crossfire. A stray shot hit some fuel drums, and a plump blossom of flame rolled across the deck plating, igniting clothes, skin and hair. Grek made an awkward attempt to mimic the bow he had seen Drake perform. Drake stared at Grek in disbelief as flames crossed the hall. For a moment, he was too stunned to move. Then a familiar sound rang out through the din, snapping Drake into action, the clanging, tuneless bells of the Proctor's heavies. He focused his augmetic eye on the walkway beyond the south gate. Sure enough, there was already a wall of metal thundering towards the Droneplatz. He took one last, despairing look at the carnage Grek had triggered, then shook his head and raced towards the north gate, with Grek bounding after him. The way was now clear. Everyone not involved directly in the brawl had spotted a chance to loot the abandoned stalls and rush back to see what they could lift. Drake and Grek passed beneath the arch and out onto the walkway. Drake cursed as he saw there was a wall of metal approaching the Droneplatz from this direction too. The wall was actually the interlocking slab shields of Bulgrins, the Proctor's hulking, meat-headed enforcers. Colossal abhumans, 10 feet tall, and so heavily muscled that they wore thick plate armour, salvaged from tanks and personnel carriers. The walkway shuddered under the impact of iron-shod boots. As they reached the gate, the Bulgrins loaded their guns, wrist-mounted assault cannons, more suited to downing aircraft than halting a fight. All along the walkway, people were diving for cover or sprinting back towards the Droneplatz. Drake looked around and saw a support strut just a few feet from the edge of the walkway.
"Follow me," he barked,
before taking a running jump at the strut. It jolted under his weight, but held firm, and he began clambering up it just as the Bulgrins opened fire on the crowds below. Screams rang out, followed by the boom of exploding fuel tanks and the snap of breaking lift cables. Drake climbed higher, relieved to note that the gunfire was targeted on the gates rather than on him. Grek was a few feet below, climbing easily up the strut. But Drake was so furious with the creature that he felt like booting him away and letting him fall to the distant void screen. The Bulgrins pummeled their way into the Droneplatz, and the sound of fighting grew louder as the abhumans tried to regain control.
"Quick!" snapped Drake, nodding back down the way the enforcers had come. "Before they ask who fired the first shot."
They dropped back onto the walkway and raced away from the Droneplatz, heading for the next mooring spar. When they were a safe distance from the fighting, Drake pulled Grek beneath the loading ramp of a freight hauler and glared at him.
"What in the name of the Emperor were you thinking?"
Grek looked blankly at him.
"You can't start firing that thing whenever you like," growled Drake. "You could have killed us both." "We are unharmed," replied Grek.
"And everyone else? Are they unharmed?"
"How long have you been here? You must know what happens if someone opens fire."
"I thought..."
"You thought nothing," snapped Drake. "Think yourself lucky that the word of Drake is unbreakable. Otherwise, I would leave you to the Proctors and let you explain how you're going to pay for the damage you've just caused."
Grek stared at him. Drake groaned in exasperation.
"Let me do the thinking."
Grek remained silent, so Drake whirled around and leapt back up onto the walkway.
"Which is the Clarion?"
he asked as they passed prow after prow. Before Grek could answer, Drake waved him to silence, spotting the unmistakable spires and finials of an Ecclesiarchy transport barge. Drake cursed as he saw a group of Bulgrins waiting at the foot of the landing ramp.
"The Proctors won't let him leave," said Grek.
Drake was about to approach them, with no clear idea what he would say, when a deafening explosion rocked through the Droneplatz. The situation was clearly getting worse. The Bulgrins outside the Clarion hesitated for a moment,
then thudded off down the walkway towards the drone plots, readying their weapons. Drake laughed and looked at Greg.
Perhaps you're more useful than I realized. Wait out here, he said as he approached the landing ramp, and come to warn me if you see those guards coming back.
The priest is dangerous, said Greg,
following him up the ramp, gripping his rifle.
More dangerous than you?
Greg continued following him up the ramp, seeming not to have heard. Drake stopped and stared at Greg, then shook his head.
Very well, but no shooting. Understand?
Greg nodded. The doorway was built like the grand portico of a temple, and the colonnades were covered in intricate reliefs, images of tortured, screaming souls, their arms thrown up in agony and despair, consumed by flames. All of them were clutching at their faces and had ragged, empty sockets where their eyes should have been. At the centre of this gruesome scene was a priest, seated in a throne, carried by dozens of crook-backed wretches who were also eyeless and howling in pain. Only the priest on the throne could see, and his vision burned like a sun on a star chart, an elaborate halo of delicate lines that spread around the doorway, fueling the flames and blinding the wretched multitudes.
Thaddeus, said Greg.
Is that what Thaddeus looks like? Asked Drake.
He touched the mural.
No, this is his vision. This is why he came here. He'll find that fire in the Ascuris vault.
Greg was about to say more, then hesitated and shook his head.
Ask him to explain.
The door whooshed upwards and left Drake face to face with a shaven-headed, emaciated-looking woman dressed in the filthy robes of a zealot and pointing a large two-handed flamer at him. Her eyes were bloodshot and seemed too large for her sunken eye sockets, straining and blinking furiously as though trying to escape from her skull.
You are...
she stammered, her head flicking to one side as she spoke.
Trespassing. This is the property of the Holy Synod of Acheron and a sanctum of the Adeptus Ministorum.
The woman was not looking directly at Drake, but rather at a point just above his left shoulder. Every few seconds, her gaze would briefly flick towards his, and in those brief moments of contact, Drake sensed a dangerous lack of reason. Her finger was trembling over the trigger of her flamer, and the pilot light was hissing quietly before the muzzle. Drake heard Greg shifting uncomfortably behind him, struggling to refrain from grabbing his rifle. The woman noticed Greg and frowned in recognition. Drake spoke in what he hoped were emollient tones.
I have learned that your master and I have a shared interest. It is important that I see him.
The woman's lip trembled. She looked on the verge of either laughing or crying.
Shared interest? A location on the Blackstone Fortress, a chamber called the Ascuris Vault.
The flamer drooped for a moment in her grip, and the colour drained from her face. She glanced back over her shoulder. Drake tried to peer inside the barge, but it was too dark for him to see anything clearly. There was just the vaguest flicker of candlelight washing over the bulkheads, but that was enough for him to see that the wall seemed to be moving somehow, rippling like liquid. There was a rattle of heavy armour as more Bulgrins clanked past down the walkway. Even from here, Drake could hear that the proctors had yet to calm the situation. The woman looked at the Bulgrins and the crowds around the drone plots. She shook her head, looking even more disturbed. She was clearly a hardened fighter. Her limbs were sinewy and covered in scar tissue, and she held herself like a pit brawler, tensed and hunched, ready to strike. But her eyes were those of a cornered animal.
Vaughn, said Greg. This man knows the madness. He knows how to resist it.
This was not entirely true, but Drake felt sure the navigators would help, so he nodded in agreement. "Are you really here?" she said, her eyes narrowing as she raised the flamer again, levelling it at Drake's chest.
"Am I here?" Drake threw Grek a sideways glance, hoping the alien might understand the question.
Grek's face remained impassive.
"I am here," Drake said, turning back to her. "I'm Captain Drake of House Drake. My ship is the Drake Star. You might have..."
"Heresy,"
she hissed, her lip trembling again. She looked closely at Drake's dress coat and his gleaming cuirass, sneering and suspicious, as though she expected to see traitors hiding beneath its epaulets.
"The seeds of the great enemy crawl through precipice, breeding like rats. Old Night is here, hunting, feeding, fed by all the faithless scum who come here."
Drake nodded slowly, conscious of her quivering trigger finger.
"Heresy, of course, I understand. But I am a sanctioned representative of the High Lords of Terror. House Drake's warrant of trade was awarded by Lord Savonia of the Senatorum Imperialis and ratified by every member of the High Twelve. When I see your master, I will explain."
"He does not know me,"
she interrupted. There was pain in her voice, and when she allowed her gaze to briefly meet Drake's, he saw desperation.
"I can help,"
he said, keeping his voice soft. Hope flared in the woman's eyes. She leant out of the doorway and peered at the eagle on Drake's breastplate, examining its two heads. She tapped them, giving them a suspicious look, as though she expected them to speak. She glanced back into the ship a few times, and then, with a whispered prayer, she finally stepped aside, waving them in. Drake had to pause at the threshold until his eyes adjusted to the gloom. The barge's entrance hall was lit by a single candle, drifting overhead on a winged sconce, humming slightly as an anti-grav platform carried it back and forth, revealing glimpses of the rippling walls. The movement Drake had seen from outside came from hundreds of parchment scrolls nailed to the ship's bulkheads. The thin paper strips were covered with lines of tightly packed text and hurriedly stamped wax seals. There were scrolls hanging from the ceiling too, and they rustled as Drake walked by, giving him the odd sensation he was moving through a forest. The woman rushed ahead, looking back repeatedly to stare at them with a mixture of horror and hope. As he followed, Drake had to step carefully over a graveyard of holy texts. Ancient leather-bound tomes had been torn to shreds and scattered across the floor. It looked like a slaughterhouse of knowledge. As he trod through the heaps, Drake grimaced at the waste. The books were valuable relics, but it looked like a wild beast had savaged them. Further down the passageway, Drake heard ripping sounds. The massacre was still taking place. Papers rippled through the dark towards him, flashing in the candlelight, pale and ominous. Vaughn paused at the foot of a metal-rung ladder leading up to the access hatch. The hatch was open, and the torn pages were drifting down through the hole.
"He's confused," she said, looking everywhere but at Drake. He might not make sense."
Drake nodded and gave Grek a warning glance before following Vaughn up the ladder. Thaddeus's sanctum must once have looked like a relatively normal room, complete with ceiling-high bookcases, an impressive brass lectern cast in the shape of an imperial eagle, and a circle of wooden chairs. Now it looked like an explosion in a printing press. There were pages everywhere. The bookcases had been torn from the walls, and the furniture had been overturned. The lectern was on its side, half buried in the mess, like a listing ship, and the chairs had been smashed into fragments, their arms and legs scattered across the piles of illuminated manuscripts. Hunched at the centre of the clutter, like a feral animal, was Thaddeus. He was a solid-looking, portly man, with a ruddy, wrathful face and broad chest. Drake could imagine he must have usually cut an impressive figure. But in his current state, he looked more like a rabid dog. His cassock was crumpled and stained, and it was clear that he had not left his room for some time. He had the same distracted expression on his face as Vaughan, and he did not even look up as Drake waded through the papers towards him. He was hunched over a book, tracing his finger over its pages and muttering the word "no" over and over. When he reached the bottom of the page, he ripped it from the book and hurled it into the air, turning his attention to the next page. Vaughan, meanwhile, had crossed to the far side of the room and hunkered down in another corner, watching her master with a fearful expression. "Your Eminence," said Drake quietly. Thaddeus paused, but kept his gaze fixed on the book. The priest held his book a little closer to his face, staring at the pages.
"I am Captain Drake," said Drake. "I do not believe I have had the privilege of meeting you before."
The priest looked up slowly from the book, fixing his eyes on Drake.
"Skeptic," he said, his voice low and dangerous. "You think I've failed?"
Thaddeus staggered to his feet and levelled a trembling finger at Drake. Up close, he was a great, swaggering hulk of a man.
"All of you. I can hear you whispering when I sleep. He's mad, you say. His sermons were lies."
He hurled the book across the room.
"But I am the one sane man in this den of idolaters."
He grabbed another, as yet unruined, book and waved it at Drake.
"The answer is in here somewhere. There must be one word that led me astray, and I will find it."
Then he looked back at Drake.
"How did you break in?"
He scrambled around in the piles of paper until he found a brutal-looking mace, adorned with holy screeds and studded with razor-edged spikes.
"This palace is forbidden to all but the sons and daughters of the Holy Synod of Acheron. You are profaning this citadel with your presence."
"Acamantos!"
he cried, wading back and forth through the ruined books.
"Acamantos!"
"Brother, Acamantos died," said Vaughan in her gloomy corner of the room. "He never made it back to Precipice."
She looked tormented by her master's confusion.
"Precipice!"
spat Thaddeus, glaring at Drake as though he had spoken.
"What precipice? What are you talking about?"
He grasped his tonsured head and clamped his eyes shut, growling and shaking his head as though trying to dislodge a thought.
"You all conspire to make me forget my purpose, but it will not work. The God Emperor's light is in me. It will burn through whatever deceits you lay across my eyes."
"Precipice,"
he muttered.
"Yes, precipice."
He glared triumphantly at Drake.
"See? You cannot fool me, rogue trader. I know this is not the Temple of Chalcis. This is..."
His eyes clouded over, and he shook his head, clearly confused again. He stomped across the room and wrenched open a control panel, tapping at a rune board until a shield slid back from the ship's hull, flooding the room with red light as the docks outside were revealed. From this angle, only a fragment of the Blackstone was visible, looming ominously over the ships and mooring spars. Thaddeus pressed his hands against the armour glass, staring at the scene outside, still growling under his breath.
"The unfathomable," he muttered, "has been fathomed. I have found it. Here in this snake's nest, I found it."
"Acamantos!"
he snapped, looking over to the hunched figure of Vaughan.
"We waited long enough. It is time to reach the vault."
"I am Vaughan,"
she said, grimacing and hugging herself, patting her biceps furiously as she rocked back and forth on her haunches.
"Is everything ready?"
demanded Thaddeus, marching over to her and hauling her to her feet.
Where are Brother Sinus and Lacter and the others? We should be boarding the Blackstone by now, not talking to...
He glared at Drake.
Not talking to traders and thieves.
Sinus and Lacter died too, said Vaughan, hanging weakly in his grip. All the brothers are gone, Your Excellency. We're the only ones left. Do you remember?
Gone?
Thaddeus laughed. Then he let go of Vaughan and marched over to the hatch, crying out to the rest of the barge.
Everyone! Up here now! The time is upon us! We have work to do, great work, the work of the God Emperor!
There was no reply. Vaughan dropped back on her knees and began mouthing a prayer, staring at Drake. After a minute or so, Thaddeus backed away from the hatch, looking dazed. He caught sight of Grek and looked even more puzzled.
This fiend was in my dreams,
he whispered, pointing his mace at the croot.
What sorcery brought you here? You are a figment of my destiny.
He is called Grek, Excellency, said Vaughan. He was with us when we attempted to reach the vault.
The priest's eyes cleared, then glistened with tears. He leant against the lectern, colour leaching from his face. Drake could see the hard reality of the priest's situation thudding into him. Thaddeus juddered with each new moment of clarity, taking facts like body blows as he emerged from his delirium. As Thaddeus crumpled before him, Drake thought of a way he could help. A small omission, rather than an outright lie, that would make his proposition more palatable.
Your Excellency, said Drake, stepping closer to Thaddeus and offering him a hand. I have come to offer my help. Help?
Thaddeus glared at him.
What help could a rogue trader offer my holy mission?
Your Excellency, I am not a cynic, far from it. I have been humbled by the tales of how close you came to reaching your goal in the Blackstone Fortress.
Tales? Thaddeus frowned.
Yes, Your Excellency, but I have also heard tragic stories of your reduced circumstances.
Thaddeus glanced around his trashed room and looked embarrassed. He stood up slowly, refusing to take Drake's hand and using the lectern to drag himself back to his full height.
Reduced circumstances? Reduced? How can a man be reduced when he carries the light of the God Emperor in his fists?
Drake bowed.
I merely meant I have heard of the terrible losses you sustained, and...
He pressed his hand across his chest armour.
If you are ready to complete your mission, I can offer you the full support of House Drake, both financially and in terms of other resources.
Thaddeus looked appalled. He dusted down his cassock and drew back his shoulders.
House Drake?
He narrowed his eyes.
One of the oldest Terran dynasties, Your Excellency. We have traced our origins to...
Privateers, sneered Thaddeus. I am not so reduced. I have to consort with hawkers. You have entered a holy place, he said, nodding at Vaughan, and you shall be rewarded for your sacrilege.
Vaughan emerged from her corner with her flamer raised. The panic had gone from her face. Thaddeus wore a large, circular relic of some kind on a chain around his neck. It looked like a medallion, but there were rune studs around its circumference. He touched one of them as he glowered at Drake. The hatch slid back into place with a rattle of locks. Drake and Grek were trapped. Thaddeus waved at the piles of books.
I will find my answer soon enough. Somewhere in these texts is the code that will explain to me how I will return to the vault. But until then, the God Emperor has given me other equally valuable work to do.
He stepped back, away from Drake, as Vaughan came forward with the flamer.
Precipice has drawn every kind of miscreant, deviant, and nonconformist into its snare, said Thaddeus. Or should I say, the God Emperor has drawn them.
Drake shook his head.
The fortress is a trap, explained Thaddeus.
A minority are here for noble purposes, but the rest are slaves to passion and need. Weak-willed fodder for the great enemy.
He whispered a prayer.
I did not fail to reach the vault captain. I am not reduced. I have been given time to purge and cleanse.
All the while Thaddeus was speaking, Vaughan was circling slowly around Drake, the muzzle of her flamer trained on him. She had reignited the pilot light, and he could hear the promethium sloshing in the tanks strapped to her back. Drake could feel the weight of his rapier against his thigh. Vaughan was only a few feet away. He had spent most of his childhood practicing with a foil, and he could probably draw his power sword and disable Vaughan before she pulled the trigger. But if he wounded Vaughan and she dropped the flamer, the paper-filled room would go up like a furnace. A locked furnace. Besides, he needed Thaddeus to guide him to the Ascurus vault. As Drake and Vaughan circled each other, Thaddeus flicked a switch on his mace, and sparks of energy flickered across its razor-edged spikes, humming with lethal charge. Drake scoured the room for something to help him distract the priests. He needed to buy time. Most priests had a particular interest in a specific facet of the Imperial Creed. Perhaps if he could find out what most interested Thaddeus, he could use that to win him over. Most of the pages in the room were too torn to be recognisable, but then, as Drake passed behind the lectern, he saw a bookcase that had yet to be emptied. Drake edged closer so that he could see the spines. All of the books were religious tracts, as he expected, but they were all focused on Holy Terror, describing the chapels, palaces and cathedra frequently visited by the few pilgrims who managed to reach the sacred heart of the Imperium. Drake looked at the pages near his feet and saw that they were all on the same subject. Grek had dropped into a low crouch, and he was clawing at the floor, emitting a low snarl, about to pounce. Drake spoke quickly.
Have you heard of House Drake, Your Excellency? He said.
Thaddeus shook his head.
We are one of the oldest households on Terra, said Drake. Our estates are said to predate parts of the Imperial Palace itself.
Thaddeus's sneer faltered.
You have been to Terra?
Your Excellency, I was born within sight of the Imperial Palace. Thaddeus nodded at Vaughan, signalling that she should back down. He stepped closer to Drake, lowering his mace.
You saw it?
Of course, usually only from the outside. I was rarely given permission to visit.
Thaddeus looked unconvinced.
Rarely?
My father thought it important that all of his children see as much of the Imperial Palace as we could. Even with his influence, there was much we could not visit, but I will never forget the parts I did see.
What did it look like?
I was a child, but I remember some things. The banners, hanging high, their colours flashing through the censer fumes. Statues of saints rising from the crowds like giants, marching down processional routes, and doors like mountain slopes, so vast even seen from so far away.
Drake's mind slipped back across the years. He had only mentioned the Imperial Palace to stall the priest, but the memory hit him with surprising force. He could almost feel the great swell of humanity pushing him on. The devout, filthy, bleeding multitudes who had crossed worlds and spent their whole lives with one desperate hope that they might be one of the select few who survived long enough to see the Eternity Gate, praying that they would witness that holy portal between mankind and its master. Drake had felt buoyed that day, not by the mindless devotion that surrounded him, but by the knowledge that he was different. Faced with the wild-eyed pilgrims, he saw clearly that he, like his father and his father's father before him, would rise from the fold, born to lead and inspire rather than follow. With his father and sister at his side, Drake had known, without doubt, that he was destined for greatness. Pain gripped him as he felt the keenness of his loss, saw the heights he had fallen from. Caught unawares by the vividness of his memories, he had to look away to hide his emotion. Thaddeus was watching him closely, and at the sight of Drake's pain, the venom faded from the priest's eyes. He dropped his mace, rushed forwards and gripped Drake by the arms.
"Emperor preserve you," he whispered,
embracing Drake in a fierce hug.
"What a fool I am. I see the truth of it now. Even now, all these years later, you are overwhelmed by the rapture."
He shook his head and held Drake at arm's length.
"Forgive me, Captain Drake. I misjudged you. No artifice could create the faith I just saw in your eyes."
He signalled to Vaughan to lower her gun.
"He is one of us, child. I was not seeing things clearly."
He looked pained, massaging his temples.
"My mind plays tricks on me."
He shook his head.
"You have breathed the same air that moves through the Imperial Palace," he said in wonderment.
Drake nodded. That much was true. There was no need to disabuse the priest of his other notions. Thaddeus closed his eyes and whispered a prayer, looking reinvigorated.
"This, too, I have foreseen," he said.
The doubt vanished from his eyes and the fervour returned.
"All has been revealed to me. Those who thought I had failed do not understand how the God Emperor tests his most trusted agents. Each wound only makes me stronger."
He grabbed Drake's arm.
"And now he has sent you. I dreamt that a guide would come, sent from the God Emperor himself. And you are he, Captain Drake. I see that now."
Drake nodded. "I found the pilot who previously flew you past the dragon's teeth, Your Excellency," said Drake. "We can take the same route, but this time we will reach the vault and take whatever you're searching for." Thaddeus looked troubled at the mention of the pilot.
"Ordus? She's not as devout as we are."
He was about to say more when he caught sight of Grek and scowled.
"You brought the animal too."
"He has sworn to aid me." Thaddeus looked doubtful.
"He swore to aid us last time."
He gave Drake a conspiratorial look.
"They eat their kills."
"Grek will be my responsibility." Thaddeus looked hesitant.
"We..."
He clenched his fists, as though he would rather punch something than speak his mind. "Your Excellency," said Drake. "Ordus and Grek told me what happened last time, how you became confused."
"My visions escaped from my mind," said Thaddeus, massaging his great lump of a skull. "Everyone else could see the past and the future."
He shook his head and whispered a prayer.
"We all became prophets."
"I've already considered this," said Drake, placing a hand on Thaddeus's arm. "I have a solution." Thaddeus looked eagerly at him. The Proctor's guards are all busy dealing with a problem in the Dromeplatz, said Drake. You're free to leave your ship if you go now. Are you well enough to make the attempt in the next few hours? Do you have any business to attend to?
Business?
Thaddeus looked appalled by the idea.
I did not come here to do business, Captain. I came to do the work of the God Emperor. Of course we can leave now.
Perfect, Your Excellency. I have one final call to make before we depart. If you can join me at my ship in an hour's time, I should be ready then. If I'm not there when you arrive, my attaché Isola will make you comfortable until I return. Thaddeus grabbed Drake by the shoulder.
The God Emperor lit a fire in us, Captain Drake. That is the passion you felt when you first beheld those sacred doors. Our destinies are conjoined.
He glanced at the engravings that surrounded the door.
The blind shall be made to see.
The engraving showed the same scene Drake had seen from outside the craft. A priest, surrounded by legions of tormented, eyeless wretches. The priest was carried on a grand throne, and he alone could see. The dazzling, stylized beam, radiating from the priest's face, was burning through the crowds, igniting skin and hair, and filling the skies with plumes of smoke.
The Eye of Hermios, said Thaddeus, leaning close to Drake and staring intently at him. A devout believer like yourself has no doubt heard of it.
Drake was about to admit he had not, when Thaddeus continued, speaking in a tremulous whisper.
The flames will hear no plea till the faithless soul burns free, till the truth is burned in thee, till the blind have learned to see.
Vaughan lowered her head as he spoke, repeating his words with her eyes closed. Thaddeus opened the loading hatch.
I will find you in an hour, he said, shaking Drake's hand. We will finish the work that was begun so long ago.
Drake nodded. Thaddeus's rhyme had troubled him. He had heard such prophecies before. Often they were the last words of wayward priests who had earned the wrath of their more orthodox brethren. He decided to learn more about Thaddeus once he returned to the vanguard. For now, he simply gave the priest a quick bow and led Grek back down the loading hatch and into the bustling crowds thronging down Ilium Gate.